So just when we were kind of starting to like Hannah a little bit more this season, she's reeled us back in the other direction once again.
Just when you thought we were out, they pull us back in.
Just when you thought it was safe to like Hannah.
In a world where people start to like Hannah.
Wow. One bitch. One desire.
One man.
Nah. No.
Oh, boy. So
now I'm just doing the Pablo Francisco bit.
I remember that one. That's an old one. We're old now.
Oh, I saw him live at Gotham Comedy Club, and he did the whole thing, the whole shebang. That guy's dead now.
Pablo Francisco died?
No, the movie guy.
Oh, yeah, I know the movie guy died. Yeah, I actually...
The one man,
I saw,
one desire.
I saw an indie film about it called In a World.
Is it called In a World?
Yeah, it's an indie film about when he dies, who's going to replace him as the next like big voiceover person in Hollywood.
And, isn't it his kid?
I don't know.
I heard something about like his kid just does the same exact fucking voice.
It's very possible, but the plot of the movie is that this girl who is the daughter of a guy that does it wants to break into the business and do it, and then there becomes like an animosity beef between them.
And you said the plot of a movie, I thought this was a documentary.
No, it's a narrative.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fiction, but and then our boy, what's his name, from the State, the guy who played Louis, who's Dan Marino, Ken Marino?
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
Football player.
He's the one that finds Finkel and Einhorn's penis. But, yeah, Ken Marino.
What?
in Ace Ventura.
Oh, Ray Finkel in the Pet Detective movie with the stupid fucking, okay.
Yeah, so Ken Marino is the other guy who wants to be, like, the next big voice actor, and he ends up in, like, a romance with the girl, so it's this whole, like, triangle of mess. Anyway, so this week, Hannah arbitrarily decides, well, not exactly arbitrary, but she's kind of playing second fiddle to Adam's new career, and...
So she started playing with her fiddle.
You could say that, yes. Oh, you got it.
I mean, you know, she was upset about the sexual, the very sexually natured episode.
Very, yes. So she's feeling more like, I don't know, like the spark is gone. Like, she's getting to that point where you usually get to in a relationship that's been going on for a while, where it's not this hot, steamy love affair that it started off as, but... She thinks,
I feel like this angle's a little forced, though. Should they really even be hitting this like point in a relationship right now? I mean,
it happens. It always happens eventually.
What's like real time, time of how long they've been together?
I think it's. I mean, when we come into the show, they're already dating, as you know. Like, they're not together, but you know that still counts as like part of the relationship process, and then. You know, they have...
We're just fucking.
Right, but, you know, it was... Obviously, it had more... It wasn't like they didn't speak. Like, they just had sex and then, like, went their separate ways. Like, there was communication between them that led to interest, which led to a relationship. The thing is, you know, you have to take all that into consideration, followed by them actually being together and then closing out the first season where they break up. And then... There was some kind of back and forth between them, you know, even when they're broken up, there's still, you know, that weird foreplay when you're not with an ex, but you're going to get back with an ex. And now.
I've been there.
Yeah. And now I guess they've been together for like a year.
Been together.
In canon. I don't know. But anyway, so she's feeling like second fiddle and, you know, she gets really wasted and crashes at a coworker's place, and then,
what was up with that? Do you think that she was messing around a little bit, like the whore bag she is?
No, not at all.
Do you think that kind of was going to surface down the line?
No, I think that was just a plot device to illustrate that she was drunk and needed to stay out and recover from whatever she was doing. The thing was, she stays at her coworker's house, and then... She doesn't call or tell Adam anything like that. So then she comes home the next morning, and she's like, oh my god, I got so drunk last night. Don't you want to know where I was? And he's just kind of like, no, I'm sure it's fine. I'm going to work. And she, because he doesn't, he's not scared to death that his beloved girlfriend didn't come home last night, like, that it doesn't worry him, that worries her. And then...
Yeah, I guess she feels like... it's not so much a Hannah thing, but this is just a woman thing, I feel like.
Oh, there's a lot of woman things happening in this edition of Girls.
Yeah, it's just the... the show is called Girls. But it's one of those kind of like where... I think it happens vice versa, too, with the sexes as well. Where, like, one feels like someone should... feel a certain way, and when they don't, they think it's something wrong with them when they're just kind of being carefree and or trusting, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that can kind of swing both ways.
Totally. So she gets advice from Elijah that she should try to spruce things up or something, and he's comparing notes with her, and she basically concocts this whole thing where she's going to dress up, she's going to role play, and puts on a blonde wig and acts like she's some trophy wife of some rich executive, and he keeps her in this apartment because he's always around on business and doesn't want anybody looking at her, and she's like courting him as like kind of like a trampy girl at this bar, and you know, and she just borrows Marty's apartment to be the apartment that this is taking place in, and then they actually end up having sex, and mid role play she changes from trophy wife to high school cheerleader.
Oh my God. Wait. Yeah. So we're just looking at this whole storyline as a angle here. We're not going chronological of the show, but
yes,
she does that. And that kind of throws them off. But I think we're glossing over a bunch of things of the evening that they had out.
Well, I mean, yeah, those things will go back and pick out, but
okay. That's the thing that kind of like. Did you feel that when she started doing this role play thing? And it's funny how last week I was saying kind of how we don't see that side of Adam anymore. We don't see like that, like kind of weird, sexually depraved, the weirdo side, like that we first saw in the very beginning, where it's just like, oh, this is just some weird, pervert. You know, kind of guy, and it was starting to come out a little bit because he was, you know, getting into it. It's like, all right, this is what you want. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna play along. I'm gonna do this business. And then when she kind of like flipped the script, it's funny that that's the thing that stops him. This whole thing is weird and fucking crazy and psycho and ridiculous. But then the fact that she switched his character mid fuck. But I also felt it wasn't even just that. It was more or less like she was. Not condescending, but it was a little derogatory how she was like, oh, I'm the cheerleader and you're the fucking weirdo. Like, what? Like,
right,
I felt
right.
Like he was like, why am I the fucking weirdo? You
know the thing I love about it, though,
weirdo? You're lowering yourself to fuck me.
The thing I love about it, though, is that he's breaking in his coat for the play that he's going to be in. So he's wearing the coat at all times now, and he's wearing the coat when they're having sex, right?
Wow, fucking.
And she's got like this like really like interesting negligee on.
Interesting? I was going to say awkward.
Well, what,
and or elaborate.
Well, what Adam's I mean, you just got to see the episode to see this thing, but what Adam says to her when she first reveals
the state
it. Adam says to her, you remember what he calls her?
My God. Oh, shit.
He says,
like,
you look like
a refrigerator.
You look like a Christmas tree. No, not a refrigerator.
You know why I said refrigerator?
Why?
I was just thinking of her as like, it's like because she's got like that SpongeBob ass.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just imagining her as like a rectangular shape.
I guess that makes sense. By the way,
my mind went refrigerator.
I don't know. By the way, she's lost a lot of weight since the first season.
She's lost some weight since
here's the thing. Here's how you could tell. When a girl gets
I know what you're gonna say. I know what you're gonna say. Go ahead, say it.
All right. When a girl gets too chunky, she gets this thing that I can only identify as belly button mouth. Where is that what you were gonna say?
No, but that is also so true.
Yeah, like, you know, like when they're standing straight up, it's a belly button, and then when they like. They like lean down or like they bend forward. It looks like a mouth that's like a wide mouth, like that's closed. And she doesn't. She had that in the first like season or two, and now she doesn't have that anymore. Now it's just a belly button at all times.
Belly button at all times. I guess I'm very familiar with this because I've had relations with many a husky and or chunky or meaty girl.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was going to say, I'll see your belly button mouth and I'm going to raise you. I don't know if I have a cute name for this, but it's more or less kind of like, I noticed something. We saw her naked in this episode, which is no big surprise. It happens. But something kind of caught my eye. Like, did you notice anything about her body in terms of her breasts?
Like, different than normal?
Like, subtly. Whereas, when maybe she had a little extra weight, the meat or the fat kind of, like, in the under boob area was a little more prominent, and it took away from, like, the undershape arc of the breast. You feel me? You following me here? So, like, I thought that the shape of her bottom boob area, like, the arc of her breast, if you will, was more noticeable, as in that there was less fat around the area for there to be a more defined breast into, you know, chest, abdomen.
I remember thinking the breasts were looking okay.
Do you follow me on what I'm saying?
But I remember thinking, like, I couldn't remember if that's how they always looked, and I just kind of forgot about it, like, right after seeing it, so.
I could be absolutely out of my motherfucking mind, but I like to think that, you know, when I see breasts on a young woman, and then I see them again down the road, you know, I can notice any changes.
All right.
You know, I pay attention, you know, breasts, I pay close attention to these things, even if... Even though it's subconsciously.
Well, I, of course, noticed the belly button mouth.
Yeah, that's a good eye. You got the eye of the Jew. It's a good eye. It's a good eye.
Oi, oi, oi. Anyway, so...
Oi, oi.
So she starts complaining and saying, like, you know, our sex has just been really lousy, and I wanted to do something to spruce it up for you.
And he's
just like, well, wait a minute, I had no problem with the sex we were having. Like, if you had the problem, like, you should have said something. Huh. And then she tries to quickly, like, run damage control and say, well, that's not what I meant. But that is kind of, I guess, what she meant.
Yeah, that's exactly what she meant.
And he just kind of... the thing that was kind of out of nowhere also was the way he just was like, I'm going to stay with so-and-so. Like, and they had it like this was planned already. Like we've been talking about this. I'm going to stay there. Like, what? Like, that was weird. But... Yeah, he's just like, look, like, and she's like, well, you know, and used to make me do all these freaky things and all this stuff, and it was really, you know, out there, and he's just like, yeah, he's like, that's because you were just some chick I was banging, and then I fell in love with you, and now you're, like, my girlfriend, and you're not just some chick I'm banging.
So good. This is so good. I thought this was fantastic for a number of reasons. I like that in some shows... When characters go through different stages and evolutions or changes, I don't like sometimes that they won't even, bring it to light or mention it or ever refer to it. Because in life, you know, I mean, we talk about things that we've done in the past and how we've acted in the past all the time. That's just how we are as human beings. And I think that when they do that, when they talk back to, oh, these are things you did like in the first season, stuff like that, the way you used to be. I like that because a lot of times in shows or things like that, and it happens in wrestling, don't we talk about all the time where it's like, you know, someone can change from a good guy, bad guy, and we want to forget the things that they did, you know, last year or the year before that, and right. I never bring it up ever again, you know what I mean? So I like that they bring it up because there's plenty of times right. in shows, and they'll just keep moving along, and the focus is on what's going on right now, but never like, these are real people that are going through a journey, so all those things happened in this world. It's good to reference it. It's good to fully flesh out these people and their experiences.
The only thing I didn't agree with and I didn't like that he said was, she said, I don't remember exactly the context, but she said something like, I just started working a job also. And he said to her, but that's different. And I thought that was like an unfair statement. I don't remember exactly the context, so I can't say exactly why I remember feeling that was an unfair thing to say, but it was essentially at least that part of the argument I thought was in favor of Hannah. Like, they did both start working jobs, and even though hers is an office job and his is a performance job, and in that respect they're different, they both did just start doing something.
I don't think he was trying to be derogatory. Like, I almost expected him to be like, well, fuck you. It's nothing like this. You know, like, who the fuck are you? He was just like, no, it's different. And he just left it at that.
Yeah, but I don't remember why he said it exactly, which unfortunately I can't speak about it more than what I've already said. But, like, I just remember, like, whatever was going on, I was like, well, no, she does have a point there. Like, they both did start working, and they're working now. Whether, you know, whatever their respective jobs might be, like, she's right. Like, but it wasn't a, like, a deal-maker or a breaker to the argument. Like, the argument still was sound that, like, she basically diagnosed a problem, and instead of addressing it in, like a normal way, she tried to remedy it with this out-there, off-the-wall solution. And, And of course, you know, she's stringing him along in the bar, and then, like, he'll say something dirty to her, and then she'll throw a drink in his face and walk out, and then they're outside in the street, and she's like, get your hands off me. And then who is the cameo that walked by?
That is Jim Florentine, a comedian and co-host of That Metal Show.
Jim Florentine, was he on Howard Stern temporarily, and did he date Robin Quivers?
Did he date Robin Quivers? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Have you ever watched Crank Yankers?
Yes.
He did a bunch of voices on that show. Most notably, the special ed kid with the yay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna invite all my friends. Yay.
Yeah. If you Google Jim Florentine, Robin Quivers, you'll see pictures of them together. Anyway,
they dated for real.
They dated very briefly. Yeah. He was going onto the show for a while regularly, and then.
He likes the mocha chocolate?
And she had just broken up with, you know, the fabled Mr. X. I don't know if you remember Mr. X.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about my entire, like, teenage childhood of listening to Howard Stern.
Right.
Like, sitting in the beginning, first few classes, you know, before lunch when Stern would run till 11 and kind of have, like, an earbud or, you know, thing, like, hold it. Like, cup it in my hand and, like, look like I'm just resting my head
right.
On my hand, but I'm actually listening to Howard Stern during Spanish class or English class, whatever the fuck.
Okay.
Memories, man. Good times, LaGuardia High School.
Yeah.
Oh, we went there together.
Great times. The 4 days a week I went there, I loved it. Anyway.
Great times, good memories.
Yeah. So, that was pretty much where they left off. He ends up punching Adam in the face because he thinks that Adam is actually trying to do something he shouldn't be doing, and then as soon as he does that, she breaks character and says, no, it's just my boyfriend, I'm role-playing, and he just goes, break up with the chick, man, she's a fucking psycho.
I was dying. Good stuff.
Very.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was essentially the Adam and Hannah story, and it spoke to...
So we are at a crossroads a little bit, because now he's like, he wants to not spend that much time with her and focus on the play.
But, you know, I felt bad for her because I mean, she brought it on herself, but, like, she did sort of project. I mean, this was, like, textbook projection. Like, she apparently isn't happy with the sex, so she was acting like she needed to spruce things up to make him happy with the sex. And,
right.
And then he was just like, I'm not unhappy. Like, you're the one that's not happy. And then...
Yeah, like, I'm smooth. I mean, you know, you're giving me pussy on the regs. Ooh, sorry, I didn't want to come off that vulgar.
Anyway, so, it's all right. And then, you know, and then he's like, I'm fine with things. And then when she's kind of just showing that she's unhappy and that there's going to be a problem now, he's just like, all right, listen, I got a play I got to focus on. So I'm going to avoid all this drama and just stay with my boy for a while. And so now it's almost like she's just gotten the bad news that, you know, one minute she's having sex, the next minute she's, like, on a break, pretty much.
Oh, Jesus.
That happened to me one time.
Oh, tell me a story. Tell the listening audience this story.
I had a girlfriend for a while, and things were starting to, like, I don't know.
Is this the one that I think it is?
Probably, yeah. And this was before, like, we had a long break, but, things were starting to fall off and not be that great, and this one night we were having sex, and all of a sudden I look at her face, and she's looking at something on, like, she's, like, looking off to, like, the side, like, maybe focused on the wall or the ceiling. So I just, like, I turn around, I'm like, what are you looking at? And she's just like, I don't think I'm into this anymore, let's stop. And I'm like, all right. So I stop, I dismount, and she's just like, I think I'm just done. I think I'm done with you. I was like, okay. so I guess I'll go. And then pretty much just put on my clothes and was just like, all right, bye. And that was pretty much the end of it for a while. I told my buddy.
So mid-sex, she says, I'm not into this. And you thinking it's just the sex. And she's like, no, I'm not into you anymore. Just whatever. And you just left and that was it?
Yeah, that was that prompted a long bout of being done with for a while. But
oh my God, I didn't know about this one. I mean, I knew of all the other psycho, like, you know, take out the garbage. Oh, we have problems. Yeah. Now, you know, why did you leave the sponge in the bathtub? Okay, we need to break up.
This story has one of the best epilogues ever, though, because I told my buddy the story, right? And the first question he asks, "What the fuck was on the ceiling?"
Damn it! Oh, I'm so mad that I didn't ask that question right now. Son of a bitch!
So the best part...
Oh, I feel outwitted.
So the best part is the story has a punchline and there's a go-home that really, really...
It's a good go-home. All of my punchlines and go-homes are stories of my ex-girlfriends. Yada, 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 and what a fucking whore. That's pretty much it.
So if you ever write a biography about your amorous endeavors, it could just be called What a Fucking Whore.
It would be like dot, 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 what a fucking whore. The dot, dot, dot symbolizes there is a lot of talking and yada, yada beforehand, and thus ending with what a fucking whore.
But yeah, I can suffice it to say I can empathize with Adam on this, in that I have dealt with girls over the years who, instead of addressing a problem with any sort of actual tact and reasonable finesse, what they do is they just decide there's a problem and they either let it build up or they start trying to remedy the situation in an ass backward way. And then it usually...
Like cheating on you.
Well, that one,
a
too.
A lot.
Yeah. And then you're just like, what the fuck was this? Well, I haven't really been happy for a while because you started. And so it's usually something trivial. Sometimes it's something important, but it's like, when did this start? Oh, like 6 months ago. Well, why didn't you tell me 5.5 months ago that this was bothering you? Oh, I didn't want to make it an issue. All right, well, now here we are 6 months later, and you've made me absolutely hate you. So...
See, your problem was, I mean, I hate to put you on blast, but you kept going back with all the nonsense. And hey, I did the same shit with the, you know, I want to break up and fuck other people. I'm like, oh, I miss you, boo, boo, boo. So, you know, leave me. But that's like my first, like, serious girlfriend. Like, I would never give anybody.
Yeah, that's ancient history now. Now we're hardened old bastards.
We are hardened, grizzled, two old men in their early ass 30s. You know, 30, 32. Yeah. All right. It's not that bad. But yeah, short story though, like similarly, I had just the, you're going along and like things are just like, she's being a little more short with you. She's been a little more distant from you. More late nights, out doing stuff for other people, not you, this and that. And then it's just like, I've been happy for blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, could we have sat down and spoke about the not happy thing when it wasn't like an issue?
Yeah, like being an adult.
It started being an issue. Yeah, you know what I mean? It just comes down to, and you can't be mad, like looking back on it, because it's just like they weren't with it for whatever reason. And, it's they wanted to do what they wanted to do. That's fine. Just tell me, because then I can catch your ass on down the road, or maybe never again, you stupid bitch. And I could, go about my business instead of I'm sitting here wasting my time giving all like, worrying about you and trying to give all my time and attention to you. And you're fucking, not giving it back. So what Hannah did now was put Adam in a situation, if you will, where he probably wouldn't have had to make this choice. It probably would have been going smooth just the way it was, but because she was unhappy for whatever reason, now she put him in this situation and he had to act accordingly. Do you think he made the right choice?
He's taking this role very seriously, obviously, but she's visibly shaken and possibly like just misconstrued this situation, and he just kind of explained to her, maybe you think this is what's happening, but this is what's actually happening. And then to throw at her like, so I'm gonna stay with a friend for a while because I don't want to deal with you, like that was kind of laying it down harsh,
I mean, I feel it. I mean, he is fucking up his vagina on the regs.
Yeah, and, you know, it just seemed like...
To put it so disgustingly.
Yeah, but the same thing, like, you know, and they do show that part in the beginning where he asked her if she's going to come to see his rehearsal, and then when she comes in, the guy is like, you can't come into rehearsal, and, like, he doesn't say anything, like, I told her she can come. Like, he just kind of, like, doesn't say a thing, and then she just leaves.
Mm. Yeah, that was I can't say I sympathize with that situation, but I empathize in just that I've probably had friends or acquaintances or seen people. You probably know people too, mutual people that we know that have that girlfriend that's just, you know, like, needs to be involved in everything or poking her nose around. She should probably just let things be. It's right. Like, oh well, I'm so and so's boyfriend. I like that little, like, albeit small, that little sense of entitlement.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, you could be a little more respectful, I think. Humble. It's so, kind of like, yeah, you want to support your significant other and you want to be there for certain things. But it's kind of like, use a little word used before, a little tact, and say, it's probably not appropriate that I be there for something like this.
Right. But that was the main story of this episode. We had some blips of the other three girls.
Well, blips indeed.
Less
strong blips.
Well, less Marnie. Marnie, we just got.
Yeah, let's Marnie.
She's singing a song with what's his name, and she's just kind of ad-libbing it as she goes and trying to put something together. And he keeps telling her stop being that girl that downed herself all the time. Like just stop saying, like, I know this is stupid. Like, just don't say shit like that. And, like, just have some self-respect, and and she also stops in her friend's art gallery, and her friend's like, I need you to be my assistant.
I do like, this is another situation with Marnie that's not, what I like about it is that it's not just another, here's some guy for Marnie to be attached to, or fuck, or fall in love with, or all three, or whatever it may be. It's, you know, he makes it very clear that he has a girlfriend. And while there might be some googly eyes, you know, given back and forth, maybe there's some chemistry, whatever, but it seems like it's just strictly business right now.
Yeah, but,
and I like,
well,
that.
She's,
it's
given
a little
him,
refreshing.
She's
it's
given
different.
Him the googly eyes, but
he... Oh, she's giving him the googles. Straight up googs. You know, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, look at him. He's a handsome man.
Oh, totally.
I mean, I might make it gay. I can make it gay for him. I might be gay.
The only other
for him?
Issue we had was Shoshana puts together the old guy whose name I can't remember. The guy was banging Jessa. That was doing a lot of coke.
Yeah, the old guy with a lot of coke. Let's call him Nigel.
I was going to say Nigel. did we do this a few weeks ago? I think we already named him Nigel because he was anyway.
Did we name him Nigel?
We very possibly did.
Probably because of Nigel McGuinness.
Maybe. Sorry, so Nigel was with Jessa.
Nigel.
And Jessa and Nigel are invited to a restaurant by Shoshana, who, unbeknownst to them, also invited his estranged daughter to the restaurant.
She was cute.
She was really cute.
She had this, like, you know, funky, you know, rash or eczema on her neck, but, you know, obviously.
But she was obviously, like...
Yeah, she was cute.
She was obviously a pretty girl that they, like... put into an ugly outfit for the show and was like, look at this ugly nerdy
girl.
They
gave her, like, Bucky-ish teeth and glasses, which, let's side note for a second, tangent. Remember, like the old friggin' stereotype, like back in the day?
I already know what you're going to say, and was it not another teen movie that did it?
Yes, yeah, all right, you're right on the same
where,
page.
Like, they're like, let's give her a makeover, and, like, they slowly take her eyeglasses off. And that's the whole makeover. And, like,
they take her eyeglasses off and take her hair out of the ponytail.
Yeah.
Done. Makeover. And I'm thinking about it now. I guess that was just the thing, like, you know, from the 80s into the 90s, just like, oh, you know, oh, four eyes, ugly, you know, nerdy girl, blah, blah, blah. It's like, glasses are cute.
Right.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So, especially now in Williamsburg, but,
so, oh, well,
so, yeah,
you know, you live in hipster central of America.
Right. But, yeah, we get
near
this,
hipster central.
We get this little thing now where she puts them back together, and Shoshana says, you know, she's done this, she's done all this stuff, and she now works at this place, and she is an inspiring fucking person, and totally puts her over. And amazingly enough, it causes the two of them to reconnect and go on their journey together, and it's now.
Do you feel that that's the write-off for Nigel?
I think it might be.
Oh, he could be called Reginald.
Yes,
call
he could.
Him Reginald.
So that could easily be, and it's funny.
Nigel Reginald.
It's funny because Shoshana's still getting the rub now that she's like a smart one and can do things like this, like put like an estranged father and daughter back together.
Very good point.
Yeah, and then we come off of that on this note where. Jess is sitting outside on the ground smoking a cigarette and got the shakes. And Shoshana just walks by her and says, "You look like a junkie." And Jess just says, "I am a junkie." And I thought this was going to prompt like a sit down, like girl heart to heart. And Shoshana just goes upstairs to her apartment and is like, "Good night." Like, fuck you.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. I also thought it was going to spark a little conversation where we can go a little deeper. And, where in some spots, even earlier in this episode, I was praising, maybe giving it too much credit, but praising the writing for, like, doing certain little things. Here's where I don't like the writing, because it just comes off like, I am a junkie. Like, I'm so troubled and dangerous and blah, blah, blah. It just seems so, like, I guess someone would say that. It just felt so like, okay, we get it. It could have been, a little more subtle, but...
Yeah, I didn't mind.
Could have went or went a little deeper. That's just a little tiny thing. I mean, it's minor gripe. It's not even really a gripe. It's just kind of like, didn't really do anything for me.
But, I mean, I don't know if that was to establish that we're on Jess's road to recovery once again, or now she's just embraced that she is the junkie friend.
We've entered the dark times.
Right. But Shoshana just seems like she's on this upswing. Marnie is kind of not sure what's going to happen with her yet. And
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to Jessa.
And then we just have Anna and Adam are going to... Adam will probably be okay either way, but we don't know what Hannah's reaction to what has just occurred is going to be.
Well, only two episodes left, but don't we still have more business in this episode?
I don't remember anything else.
But that was everything. Marnie was singing. Shoshana was a thinking. Let's see. Jessa was a junkie. Anna was a fucking psycho.
Once again,
Adam
Ray
laying down the law.
We had no Ray once again.
No Ray. What's up with Ray? Do you think like Ray like comes out in the last episode and just like shoots everybody in the face?
That's what's gonna happen. Yes, Ray's gonna shoot everybody. Ray and
but like specifically in the fucking face.
Ray, Caroline will return.
Oh,
Ray,
wait a minute.
Ray, Caroline, and Laird are gonna come in and be like
and Laird. They're gonna form a faction, saying that they're not getting enough attention,
and then they're gonna get a spinoff
show. Come in and just wreck shit. they're all very hairy people. I mean, we saw Caroline's hairy bush.
Yeah, it'll be in the it'll be in the girls' font, except it'll just say hair instead of girls.
I think they already have a thing called hair, as a matter of fact.
It's a musical.
Laird's, has a big old beard, and then Ray is a Jew, so he's hairy, I guess. I mean,
there you go.
See, you're a Jew and Italian, so you're like the hairiest fucking person on the planet.
I'm like gonna be Cousin It by the time I'm 40.
You have a back sweater.
I'm gonna be Cousin It Bernstein.
We could shave your back and give it to Locks of Love and give at least three little kids with cancer a full head of hair.
Or pubic hair.
Jesus Christ. Do you lose your pubic hair when you have cancer?
You lose all your hair, I think.
Yeah, remind me to check the next cancer patient I have. Pubic hair.
I'll text you at work on Monday.
We've gone down a strange road.
Yeah, I think we'll call it a week. And
it's time for us to go down the road, down the old dusty trail. Two episodes left. Should we sit here and try to predict, or shall we just let it be, as I say?
We'll save that for next time. Before we have the go home before the finale.
The go home before the finale. Well, I enjoyed this episode. Might be one of the better of the season, because it's just Adam coming out strong, smelling like roses, Hannah being psycho. Are we past the point of like wanting the Hannah turnaround? Like, I know I kind of brought this up last week, but are we like past like wanting the turnaround and rooting for her and like her needs, or are we just like, fuck her, let her get, you know, jobbed out by Adam, let her be a stupid bitch. You know, we want to see Adam succeed.
I want to see her evolve into like a more mature person. Like, I think that's what the goal is for her character.
But we want her to admit it herself, though. I feel like it's all for nothing if she kind of like, it's kind of like that fake, like, if someone just, like, gets a little better and it's just like, oh, this is who I am. I'm nice and perfect. I always was this way. I want to feel like it needs to be, like, that's my satisfaction of her just like, yeah, I haven't been the best. You know, I've done this and this and that. Maybe, like, make things smooth with Adam, like, a normal fucking girl, not a psycho.
I think we'll probably arrive at that at some point.
But then does she lose her quirkiness? I don't know. So many questions. 2 episodes to answer them.